As a parent, you always want to set your child up for success. So when they're struggling in school or they need help with homework, you try your best to step up. But sometimes you might not be equipped to answer. And it's better to leave that to the experts from IXL Learning. IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL can help your child really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. And when you sign up, one subscription gets you everything you need for all the kids in your home, from pre-K to 12th grade. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S., with 1 in 4 students across the country using the program. So don't wait any longer. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
The American people are smart, and Kamala Harris talks to them like they're children. She repeats these ridiculous platitudes where if you actually think about what she said, you realize that it doesn't make any sense. She talks a lot about her plans, but then her plans, when you analyze the substance, don't make any sense. And more importantly, John, the American people don't get fed on plans. She has been the vice president for 3.5 years. What she can't do, refuses to do, and has no ability to do is to say, okay, I accomplished lower prices because she didn't, or I accomplished lower housing prices because she didn't, or I secured the southern border because she didn't do that. She has all failed, right, as vice president, and the fundamental question is, do we want to give her a promotion? I think the answer has to be no, John.
J.D. Vance answering a question, I think that was from ABC last night, and it was amazing to see how that question was prefaced with a bunch of things that Donald Trump has said prior to the debate about Kamala Harris, and he was like, is that what you've seen? Is that what you saw from Kamala Harris tonight? And J.D. Vance brought it right back to the American people, which is what needs to be done. The American people need to be at the epicenter of this conversation. I don't know if that's how the debate last night really ended up going. Let's talk, ask our friend Roy Murdoch about it, who joins us once again. He's a nationally syndicated columnist and a Fox News contributor. Roy, we've made it another week. The debate last night, how'd you feel about it?
Annie, great to speak with you. I thought the debate, a couple reactions. One was the moderators, as I imagine you may have mentioned to your audience already, they fact-checked Trump 5 times. They fact-checed Kamala Harris 0 times, even though she had quite a few things she said that deserved to be fact-checked. So I would say that they were putting their thumbs, if not their hands or elbows, on the scale. I wish they had behaved like Jake Tapper and Dana Bash, the CNN debate. I thought, even though those two are not fans of Donald J. Trump, they were much, much more even-handed. I thought that was quite a fair debate. I was pleasantly surprised at how they carried themselves. But aside from that, I thought Kamala Harris, I think she benefited from low expectations. A lot of people thought that she'd get up and, you know, in such a setting where she had to talk that long, she would start giggling and serving word salads and all that. I thought she was quite coherent. She was tough. She was focused. She obviously, the debate camp did paid good dividends for her. And you know, Trump certainly had moments where he was able to get his points across, but I think unfortunately he bit into every baited hook that she threw into the water, and that the moderators did as well, and he ended up getting into discussions about, to a degree, her racial background, and then the size of the crowd sizes, rallies, or how long people stick around as rallies if they leave early, and a lot of things that are just irrelevant. And I really wish he'd mentioned a number of his own policy positions. For example, he's talked about no tax on tips. I think it's a great idea. And whether you like it or dislike it, it's one of the big ideas he's come up with. He didn't mention it at this debate or the previous debate. He also has proposed having no taxes on Social Security benefits. I'm sure a lot of the senior citizens who get Social Security benefits would have been intrigued to learn about Trump's wish that their tax, that their Social Security benefits not be taxed. He didn't mention that. And I think the one big thing that he should have done that he didn't was just very simply at some point, I think at the end of his closing argument, he should have said, you know, ask everyone who's watched this debate, you know, whether you like or dislike what you've heard so far, sit down in a hard chair and ask yourself this question. Are you better off now under Kamala Harris than you were under the presidency of Donald J. Trump? And if you're better off now under Kamala Harris, maybe she's the candidate you want to back. And if you think you were better off under Donald J. Trump, Trump's presidency, when Trump was in the White House, with lower inflation, higher affordability, cheaper gas, cheaper food, lower interest rates, peace through strength, a calm Middle East rather than explosive Middle East, Ukraine, inside Ukraine's borders, Russia within Russia's borders, no war in Europe, and much more under control, if not closed, U.S. border, and a much lower crime rate than you see today. If you think things were better off back then your choice is simple. Donald J. Trump, please put him back in the White House, and I will make America great again.
Yeah.
I think that would have been a perfect closing argument. Instead, we got a very negative description of how terrible things are in America today, and they are. But he should have said, and the answer to that is me and my program, and here it is. So I think there were multiple missed opportunities for Trump, unfortunately. And Kamala Harris came forward, I think, thought with a much stronger performance than I think anybody expected.
Yeah, I do. I think you said that correctly when you mentioned the low expectations that she had. I think she definitely exceeded the lowest of low expectations that many had set out for her. You know, I think there are a lot of opportunities that a lot of us watching wish that Donald Trump would have taken. And I think I mentioned this a little bit earlier in the show, too. If you understood that you were playing in a tilted challenge and a tilted game, you would be like, we all would be mad in that mm-hmm. instance. And in Donald Trump, everywhere he goes, the situation is always tilted against him. So I think that it's understandable why he's frustrated. You just need him to rise above. People looking at Kamala Harris, though, there was a lot of stuff out there saying, oh, she needs to introduce herself. I mean, I don't know how many times we have to be introduced to the vice president of the United States, but last night was another opportunity. I don't really know what you walk away from last night with regarding Kamala Harris, where you're like, well, I did not know that about her. That's really interesting. I don't know that she had that moment either.
I'm not sure she had that, but, you know, I'm always amazed, or recently amazed, I should say, by her rhetoric. You know, she says things like, I want to have an opportunity economy. Right after the debate, she had a rally, whatever, with her, or, you know, cheering section with her fans in a, I guess, the hotel room or her hotel, what have you. She stood in front of a big banner and said, freedom, 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 freedom. I mean, usually the Republicans talk about freedom and the Democrats talk about justice. We talk about opportunity. They talk about equality or equity these days. So she's really kind of almost impersonating Marsha Blackburn or something like this. She's, you know, this great conservative leader of ours. And it's remarkable to me that she's been able to use that kind of rhetoric, run away from her previous beliefs, and not things she believed in college and maybe she's grown up and she's abandoned. We're talking about the position she had in 2019 and 2020. And then, you know, suddenly I guess we're supposed to believe that over the last 4 years she's been, you know, reading, you know, Conscience of a Conservative and The Road to Serfdom and the Wall Street Journal editorial page, and she's suddenly turned into this great, you know, free market, limited government libertarian. I mean, it's one of the greatest dramatic performances I've seen. It's almost, you know, worthy of Meryl Streep's thespian skills. The question is she going to get away with it? And I think if it's up to Trump over the next 55 or so days to make the case that this woman is not just a Democrat or a liberal Democrat, I think she's frankly a neo-Marxist, hardest left person ever to run for president of the United States. And there's great evidence of this in terms of her previous positions, her behavior as President of the United States, and you know, the fact that she's flip-flopped on every issue from Medicare for all to whether or not we're going to ban plastic straws. It's hard to believe that, you know, okay, maybe she took a look at the medical industry and decided, you know, Medicare for all just goes too far. It's not going to work. Okay, maybe she's learned something. She's changed one or two positions. But she's going to change everything from the Green New Deal all the way down to plastic straws. It says to me, I think Bernie Sanders, you know, kind of gave away the store on this. And he said, didn't say, look, she's obviously changed her philosophy. He said, I don't think she's abandoning her ideas. I think she's trying to be pragmatic and doing what she thinks is right in order to win the election. And so I think she's just impersonating a moderate Democrat now. And if, God forbid, she gets elected on November 5, she's going to have another epiphany, probably right about January 20th. And all of a sudden she'll say, wow, all those ideas I had in 2019, I think are pretty good ideas. And she's going to flip-flop and then flip back again to where she was. And we're not going to get the middle-of-the-road Democrat she's portraying now. We're going to get the hardcore San Francisco Democrat, which she is. And, you know, I think 6 months into a Biden, 6 months into a Kamala Harris presidency, we're all going to be missing Joe Biden and seeing, can't we please bring back the moderate, middle-of-the-road Joe Biden, who, you know, at least was a socialist, but not a full-blown Marxist, full-blown, you know, almost Marxist-Leninist. So I think people need to focus on that. And I'd urge you and all of the listeners, everyone hearing our voices today, go out and talk to your friends, neighbors, loved ones, coworkers, et cetera, and make the case that Kamala Harris is still a left-wing Democrat with a lot of terrible ideas that will take a country that's kind of weak and wobbly now and really throw us down into the abyss.
Yeah, I really do feel like after last night, I wanted to be more refreshed and more excited about what was lying ahead for Donald Trump. I didn't feel that, but I don't really totally feel like anything else really changed in the race so far. So maybe a missed opportunity, but not a game-ending situation for either candidate, I suppose. DeRoy, before I let you go, I know that you're a New Yorker, and I know that you have, I think you've shared your story, your September 11th story with us before, and I was wondering if you could do that again and talk to us about your experience on this day in 2001.
Well, it's hard to believe it's been 23 years since this happened, but I remember very well how things unfolded. I got up in the morning early because I had a trip to, I forget where I was flying, but I was going to hop on a plane that afternoon, and I was going to finish up an op-ed piece before I left. So I was sitting on my balcony on a gorgeous day. It was sunny, the sapphire skies. I'm not sure I've ever seen as blue a sky here in New York before or since. And I was editing this piece on a nice, you know, nice warm breeze, and I hear a big roaring sound. I look up, and I see an American Airlines jet flying over my building, very low. I'd say about 1,000 feet, maybe. And the roar was so loud it set off car alarms on the street. So I thought, oh, this is not good. I figured maybe the pilot had his hydraulics blow out or his navigational gear died or something. I figured he was probably trying to head towards Newark Airport, which is in the direction he was flying. But I figured he's so low, he's probably not going to make it. I thought this guy's probably going to crash the jet into Washington Square Park, and you know, everyone on board will be dead, but it would reduce fatalities on the ground. And so I kind of braced for a big explosion. Well, I didn't hear it, and I figured, okay, maybe they fixed their problem. And about 5-6 minutes later, I start seeing smoke blowing across to the south, but it wasn't thick black smoke like I would expect out of a plane crash. It was sort of a beige smoke. So I figured maybe someone's cleaning a chimney or something. And about a minute later, the phone rings. I go inside, and a friend of mine is just hysterically saying, I know these people. They're burning. They're on fire. I was there last week. These people are on fire. They're burning. Hey, people at Cantor Fitzgerald, I was there last week. They're on fire. His name is Vance. Calm down, Vance. I don't understand what's going on. He goes, turn on your TV. So I turned on the TV and then saw the North Tower, Tower 1, burning. And then right about that time, the second plane hit. And I thought I was seeing a rerun, instant replay of the first one. And then I realized, oh, that's the second plane. And then I realized, okay, this is not an accident. This is deliberate. And that's when we all realized, okay, America's under attack.
Yeah.
And things just unfolded from there. But that's how my September 11th started. And, you know, I think about it still today. And it's hard to believe that 23 years have passed since that horrifying day where Al-Qaeda brought terror, mayhem, and murder right to Manhattan Island.
DeRoy, what is your emotion? Like, there are a lot of people who had resolve after on September 12th. Like, there was a clarity about what you cared about and what was important after watching all of that happen on that day. You know, if there's a patriotic sense to that, like, is there a way for you to summarize that emotion for you after the fact?
That's a good question. I remember expecting and wanting to be sad because it's such an addition to the horror of the assault. It was such a tragic thing to have happen. But I was more angry. I was so angry. I didn't cry until Friday.
Yeah.
When I was coming back from walking through Washington Square Park, they're having a candlelight vigil. And as I think I was walking home, maybe it was that Thursday, it's the first I saw those posters, the missing posters that people put on the walls. They were all over the place. And at that point, it wasn't just a building collapsing. It was, you know, human faces of people who I figured were dead. And then came the tears. Up until then, I was enraged that these people had come and attacked our country. I felt the great patriotic pride of seeing the F-16s overhead, which were patrolling. They were just flying overhead nonstop for the first week or so. And I thought to myself, well, you know, here are these, you know, brave men and women, pilots from the Air Force or U.S. Navy pilots, whatever it is, flying overhead to make sure we weren't attacked again. And so there's a great combination of patriotic fervor, gratitude and respect for the American Armed Services, rage that we were attacked, and then eventually, as I say, the tears finally came when I was able to connect human faces with the unbelievable assault that we'd experienced that Tuesday morning.
Troy, thanks for sharing that with us. It's an incredible firsthand account. We appreciate that. Thanks for being
Absolutely.
With us today. Next week, there
okay.
will be more.
We All right,
will connect
next week.
Them.
Okay. Thank you, Annie.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye now.
I remember, I think it might have been last year, it was around September 11th, and he had brought up his experience of feeling the rush of that airplane flying right over him in New York City. And I just thought, oh my gosh, those images of the missing people. If you go to the 9/11 memorial in New York City, they have those images up in that memorial. And I know exactly the kind of emotion that I felt years later in 2019 when I went and experienced that memorial. I can't even imagine what it would be like to experience those within the week that those lives were gone missing. On the Annie Fry YouTube channel, in the description there, I have a link to the YouTube video. I've got about a 10-minute video or so of my experience of touring the 9/11 memorial in New York City. And I encourage you to check it out. If you've never seen the inside of the memorial, it's just pretty much the walkthrough. There's not really much talking in it at all. So there's not much for me to play on the air for you, but I might show some of it just on the live stream after the show is over. Let's take a quick break. Tommy Lahren reacts to the debate when we come back.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
As a parent, you always want to set your child up for success. So when they're struggling in school or they need help with homework, you try your best to step up. But sometimes you might not be equipped to answer. And it's better to leave that to the experts from IXL Learning. IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL can help your child really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. And when you sign up, one subscription gets you everything you need for all the kids in your home, from pre-K to 12th grade. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S., with 1 in 4 students across the country using the program. So don't wait any longer. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
The Annie Fry Show is streaming online. Watch us live on YouTube and subscribe.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Great conversation with DeRoy Murdoch talking about his experience of being in New York City and feeling the planes fly just right over his building before they crashed into the Twin Towers. If you didn't get to hear that, rewind it on the Odyssey app or go find the Annie Fry Show podcast. We'll get that up quickly. We're talking about September 11th. We're talking about the debate. What a weird thing to try to mesh together. This is America. This is the way we do things. And coming up next, we've got Tommy Lahren. She's on with us once again from Tommy Lahren is Fearless. Definitely check her out on Outkick. You see her on Fox News as a Fox News commentator as well. Tommy, welcome back to the show. It's good to have you here.
Oh, it's great to talk to you. Obviously, a big day for our country, a big day in politics, and of course, a solemn reminder of what happens to a country when you let your guard down. I think all Americans would be wise to remember what happened 23 years ago and understand that it could very well happen again. So, you know, it seems like sometimes tragedy and remembering horrible events are disconnected from politics, but I think now more than ever, the two are interconnected, and it's important to make that connection.
Yeah, it's a wise connection to make, certainly. We watched this debate. We want to talk to you about the debate last night. We had a debate watch party. We had 200 people at a Dave & Buster's here in St. Louis. I don't think anybody left feeling the way they did after Donald Trump debated Joe Biden. I think they were pretty realistic about it, but there was no excitement for Kamala Harris either. I don't know how much you feel has changed. I kind of felt like it was a wash. But we're in another day of this election cycle that's starting to come to actual voting. What's your takeaway from last night's debate?
So when I watch any of these debates or the press conferences or the sit-down interviews, I always try to watch it as if I were somebody who was undecided, as if I were somebody who was teetering between the two, hadn't made my mind up yet. And I think it's really important for those of us who do media or television or politics on a daily basis, who are so entrenched in this, to try to put ourselves in the shoes of somebody who doesn't do this every day, somebody who's just busy with their kids and their families and their jobs and their schooling, and they're not paying attention as closely as maybe some of us who do this for a living are. So I watched it through that lens, and I've got to be honest with you. I think that Kamala probably outperformed the expectations of her, and I was very cautious about setting the bar low for her walking into this, because unlike Joe Biden, she is able to rehearse, she is able to remember canned lines, she is able to put on a performance. And that's exactly what we saw from Kamala Harris last night. It was a choreographed performance. Whoever was advising her knew exactly what to tell her to say to bait Donald Trump. And unfortunately for Trump supporters and conservative voters, Donald Trump did not do a good job of resisting the bait, and he did not do a good job of redirecting back to the issues that those Americans who are undecided care about. So unfortunately, last night to me was a missed opportunity that Donald Trump could have seized and he didn't.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that assessment. Yeah, I think it's very important, exactly what you said, Tommy, to remind ourselves, especially a lot of our listeners who are listening to conservative talk radio all day. They're checking out Fox News. They're watching OutKick. They're plugged in. Not everybody is plugged in. And there, most people who tuned in last night, it's Trump. It's Kamala. They know where they're going. There are a few people out there right now who are deciding if they're going to vote for the president when they choose to show up to vote and fill out that ballot, or maybe not choose to fill it out at all. Do you feel like Kamala Harris, maybe she didn't seem as insufferable as some people have made her out to be? Do you think she said anything last night that might bring in some of those people who weren't so sure about casting their ballot for the Democrat this time around, that she sold them?
Well, the way that she sold them, and, I use that term very lightly because we really didn't get any policy specifics from her at all. We didn't get any clarifications on her past radical positions that she held just 3.5 years ago. So I look at it, though, as somebody who was just listening to her, wanting to feel nice. Unfortunately, a lot of elections these days are based on how people feel about things. And she was able to deliver answers that were concise, which she in the past has not been able to do. And she was able to make herself sound appealing to those folks out there who were nervous that maybe she would walk in and give us the word salads or the repeat lines about being unburdened by what has been. She didn't do that. She didn't give us the awkward laughing. So in that sense, she accomplished her goal. Unfortunately, Donald Trump went down several rabbit holes that he should not have went down, because that is going to be the coverage for the next week, is them dissecting the things that Donald Trump said. For a lot of folks that are in the middle and undecided, they worry that Donald Trump might be too fringe, or they might worry that Donald Trump is focused too much on relitigating the past. And he did fall into a couple of those traps. And I think we have to be honest about it. And I think we have to be honest in terms of how we move forward from this. If you are a conservative and you want to see Donald Trump win, I think Donald Trump has to buckle down and get incredibly serious in the next 2 weeks. I think he has to be incredibly disciplined with what he says, and he cannot go off on tangents. If he continues to perform like he did last night, it's going to be very difficult for him to win over the undecideds who will decide this election.
Tommy Lahren with us right now. She's the host of Tommy Lahren is Fearless on OutKick. Go check out OutKick.com. Tommy, I think that to me, in a sports world, this is like game two of the World Series. The polls were all going in Donald Trump's favor. He gets game one. Game two, close one, goes to Kamala Harris, and everyone's, whining and moaning about the officials, but the game still goes to Kamala Harris. That's the way it is. But it's not over yet. It's September 10th. Today's September 11th. Come the end of September, how many more big stories will have filled in that amount of time? We'll have a VP debate in October 1st. How much do you think that this debate really is going to set the tone, the outcome of the actual election results?
We need another debate. And I know Donald Trump hasn't committed to a second debate. He was on Fox and Friends this morning, and, he was, again, rightfully talking about ABC and the way they moderated that. I mean, I talked about it last night right afterwards. It was an ambush. It was a 3-on-1. We all know this. It was unfair. We should have known that going in, to be quite frank. But we have to be honest. You can't always blame the referee when you're throwing air balls. So Donald Trump, maybe he should reel that back a little bit. Like, he's got to accept things for what they are. It's never going to be fair to a conservative, and we should just accept it. But he needs to debate again, and he needs to debate again in a much more disciplined fashion. I hope that he accepts another debate, because we need to see that from him. If he doesn't, people are going to think, and they're going to go off of Kamala Harris's performance. They're going to think that she can perform well under pressure. So we need a second debate with Trump on his A game, and then let's see how she performs when the rehearsed lines run out. I really hope we get a second.
Yeah, Tommy, I think that the format that I personally would like to see the most is like a town hall type of a debate, where there are people with questions involved, and it's always a matter of who's managing it. Donald Trump, to his credit, has said anywhere, anytime, your rules, let's go. Kamala Harris has said yes to two things, and she had Tim Walz with one and the ABC moderators on her side on the other. But to be able to get more people involved, I think, would be better. I just don't. Who do you trust? Obviously, Fox News. But who's a medium type of person who both sides could agree on in this country that could legitimately moderate something that would be beneficial to the American people? Does that person exist?
Well, I think that there's something to be said about, something that's done maybe with popular podcast hosts on both sides. Maybe you could do some kind of a collaboration there. But I will say this, it's not just because I work there, But I've always been incredibly impressed with Brett Baer and Martha McCallum. I think that they do a fantastic job. I think that they hold both sides to account. Yes, they might be more on the conservative side. We understand that. But my God, we've done a debate on CNN and we've done a debate on ABC News. Yep. You know, maybe at one point there are still millions and millions of Americans. We are the number one cable news network in the world.
Majority of Americans, yeah, exactly.
It is fair. It is fair that we have one on Fox News. And I know people, oh, well, Fox News is more conservative. Sure it is, but we've already given you two on liberal networks.
Yeah.
So we should meet the American people where they are. The American people are viewing and they are watching Fox News, and it's not just conservatives. So I'm pushing for a Fox News debate. I think Martha McCallum and Brett Baer would do a fantastic job. Again, I was disappointed on Fox and Friends this morning to hear Donald Trump say that he didn't want to do a debate with Brett Baer and Martha McCallum. I think that was a huge error on his part, and I hope he reconsiders.
I don't always live in 4D chess world, but I almost think he said that to try to get Kamala Harris to be like, we'll do it on Fox, but Brett and Martha have to be the moderators, to which he wins. In that instance, he would win. Tommy, we appreciate you always. We love watching your Tommy Larenas Fearless Outkick. Check out the podcast, and we hope you come back soon.
Well, it's great to talk to you guys. And to the Trump supporters out there, I would just say make sure that your friends are registered to vote. Make sure that they plan to vote, because this is going to be razor thin and no one can sit home.
Yeah. Amen to that. That we have to take action. No sitting idly by and just complaining about the refs. Exactly. Tommy, we'll talk to you again soon. Thank you.
God bless you all.
Yep. You as well. Fox News commentator and podcast host Tommy Larenas is fearless on outkick.com. You can follow her on X at Tommy. That's Tommy with an I, T-O-M-I, Laren. Go check her out. I think she's right about that. I was going to mention that fact. Do we have a clip of him talking about them? I don't know if you we have so much sound today from yesterday's debate and a lot of reaction to it. When Donald Trump, do we have it? Okay. When Donald Trump was on Fox and Friends this morning, he made a comment about Brett Baer and Martha McCallum and not wanting them to be the moderators. And it was kind of bizarre, but at the same, because he said it to Fox on, like, this is a guy who's not afraid to talk to anyone. But if he's saying, you know, of course, Kamala Harris and her camp is going to think that Fox News is not friendly territory in the exact same way that Donald Trump knows that CNN and ABC is not friendly territory. I will remind you what Will Scharf said in studio earlier this week. Donald Trump is currently suing ABC for defamation in a lawsuit that they feel very good about potentially winning. He goes into the enemy territory. It's an away game for Donald Trump. If Kamala Harris feels like it would be a home game for Donald Trump on Fox News, that's where the American people are. That's where they're watching. I mean, honestly, the worst thing that could happen to Kamala Harris, should she come on Fox News, is that she'd get treated the way that Donald Trump's been treated in this ABC debate, not in the CNN one, to CNN's credit. Jake Tapper and Dana Bash did a good job. They asked questions regardless of how they felt about Donald Trump's answers. They didn't cut him off and correct him. It is amazing. It's amazing that Donald Trump was corrected and interrupted and pressed on as many things as he was. And Kamala Harris wasn't a single time. I think the American people see that. I think people who are tuning in, who are not predisposed to loving Kamala Harris, they want to like Kamala Harris. This is the thing. There are people who know that they don't like Donald Trump. They also know at the same time that the facts of the matter is that they were doing better under Donald Trump. They know that. That's a hard thing to reconcile. What is best for me goes against my emotional reaction to the sights and the sounds of Donald Trump. I want to like Kamala Harris. I want to want her to win. I want to vote for her. I want to support her. And then you watch her, and she does a lot of things to put people off. I don't think that she did anything last night. I mean, it was so clear that she was trying to get Donald Trump's goat. She was trying very, very hard to get under his skin. She did not talk about the policies that she talked about was housing and giving people money. She didn't say how she was going to do it. She didn't say how she was going to implement this stuff. Somebody said, how is she going to pay on Twitter? They tweeted at me. How is she going to pay for all this stuff? And I want my response wanted to be probably the same way that you are, but maybe in a different tax bracket. It's coming out of your pocket. Every single penny comes out of your pocket or your child's pocket or their children's pocket. It all has to be paid for. We can't just make debt disappear. It's not workable. It's not possible. She hasn't sold ideas to people. She's trying to sell feelings to people. It may be enough. And to what Tommy was saying there, I really hope that Donald Trump gets in the game and understands that while it's super frustrating that they're running a vibes campaign, I hate that phrase so much, a feelings campaign, that they're trying to make you feel a certain sort of hatred when you see him and a certain sort of affection when you see her, you don't have to agree to completely do that yourself. You can still talk policy, but you can't pretend that it doesn't exist. And if you play right into her hand, you make the job easy for her. And there was a little bit of that last night. I don't think it's as bleak as people are feeling today. I think next week you'll be like, meh, whatever. I think Donald Trump could have done better. I don't have any problem saying that. I also think that he's still by far the best choice for president for our country. And if you watch and wait, trust me on this, in 2 weeks, we'll be like, oh, you remember the debate? Because a million things will happen between now and then. All right, let's take a quick break. I'm excited about our next guests here. We're going to have Dan Abegg in the studio. He is the president of the Edwardsville Rotary Club. And this is a local thing. We don't always do this, but I was tipped off to this opportunity, and I thought, you know what? This relates exactly to you folks who are in Madison County, Illinois. Because the Edwardsville Rotary Club, a very generous organization, is celebrating, get this, its 100th anniversary. And in this 100th anniversary, they are doing something really big that you can be a part of. So stick around. We're going to have Dan come in here and talk about the 100th anniversary and this really, really big donation that they are preparing to make. We'll be right back. I don't know how long it gets into this song, but the best line is where it says one might grow up and go to prison, one might be president.
It's like, yeah, that's this song.
That's this song. We'll get to that later. Thank you for listening today. We've had a full show so far. If you were listening at the beginning of the show, we talked a little bit about September 11th. And as Ryan just mentioned, that's the poll for today. So we want to make sure we commemorate this day with the appropriate amount of respect. And we've talked about the debate quite a bit today. We'll get to more of that in the 2 o'clock hour. But something that is just bright and good and positive injected into this day. We are happy to welcome the Edwardsville Rotary Club president into the studio. Dan Abegg is in studio with us. Dan, thank you for being here with us.
Thank you for having me, Annie.
It's good to have you in here. And Doug Rohr, who is my friend, he goes to church with me. He's a member of the Edwardsville Rotary Club. Right. Good to have you here, Annie. Yeah, good to see you here outside of church. You guys are doing something really, really huge for your Edwardsville Rotary Club 100th anniversary. So I want to talk about that in a second. But first, Dan, tell me a little bit about the Edwardsville Rotary Club. 100 years is that's a well-established group.
It's a great thing, and I'm just lucky to be president this year in the 100th year. Rotary International is a worldwide organization with over 1.2 million members. The Edwardsville Rotary Club is one of those clubs, has been around for 100 years. We have about 100 members, has done really wonderful things for the community of Edwardsville, Glen Carbon, and the Madison County area in general. Service above self is our motto. So we live by that. We have fundraisers, and we donate and have donated a lot of money over the years. Since 2002, we've actually donated $1.1 million to local organizations and through scholarships and building things. We built the Airplane Park Playground in Edwardsville.
Have used.
Yes.
I love that.
I think everybody has.
Yes, it's a great playground. Molly loves that playground. $1.1 million is amazing. You do several fundraisers, I guess annually. The Edwardsville Criterium bike race is a huge one. It's like continued to grow year after year.
It has become really good. And, you know, we have great members. It takes a lot of volunteer hours for that. Brian Mulhall is our person who heads that up currently. But that raises about $46,000 the last couple years for us to go toward our projects. And all of our money goes toward organizations and projects. We don't have any paid staff or anything like that as the club. So we have none of that. But so those go to it. We also have a golf tournament. And then we do sell citrus in December, which has gone back around 25 years as a tradition for the club. And that's always kind of a fun thing for the community to get involved in. But as times go on, you need to adjust your fundraisers. And, you know, there's a lot of organizations out there in need and a lot of hands out and, you know, always going to the same pockets. So we try to diversify, which kind of gets me to this point of our this year. So it's our 100th anniversary. We decided let's do something a little different. We always give money. We gave $46,000 in donations just last year alone. So we thought let's do something special for the 100th. So we've come up with, we're going to donate $100,000. And to do that, we're going to do 10 $10,000 grants, and they will be eligible to any nonprofit, community organization, a business that might have a community project they're working on within Madison County.
That's great.
So that's, even though we're an Edwardsville club, this is, we're encouraging participation from all over the county. Mm-hmm. Like I said, we've given a bunch of money. Edwardsville is fortunate. They have a lot of organizations and a lot of generous people, but we know there's a lot of needs in and around the Madison County area that we would really like to get applications and hear from those organizations as well.
You know, Ryan, we talk a lot about politics, obviously, on this show, but this is just a community helping people in the community, completely apolitical. And this is what it's really all about. To be able to apply, like anybody listening right now who's in Madison County, who has that nonprofit organization, can go to EdwardsvilleRotary.page and you can register to win this $10,000, I guess, is it a grant or a donation to help you with your cause? Like just being able to see people in the community. This is happening everywhere. And we wanted to highlight this because this 100th anniversary opportunity is a big one. It's just very positive and refreshing to see.
I don't know about you, but I feel like the government wastes money sometimes. And when you get private organizations like this, you know, I'm sure you guys are going to look at who's most worthy of these things. It's not just, oh, well, here you go. You know, you're going to look at who's going to make a difference, who's going to handle this with the most integrity. And that's exactly why we love talking to organizations like you guys, because we know that you're doing the vetting. We know that you're doing the right things to make sure that the people in need, the needs in our area are met the best. That's the best way to do it, the way you're doing it.
And that's what we really try to do. So the committee, we have a centennial committee that I put together that will be reviewing all these applications as they come in. They will then vote on them and make recommendations. And then also the board of directors will have this, will vote on which ones. And then membership as a whole will get a vote.
That's great.
So this isn't just one or two people picking out their favorite organization or somebody they've got from a golf league or something like that. They will really get looked at. Every application will get looked at. And what I encourage people to do is really encourage what the money goes to and what it serves. Because what, this is kind of a personal bias, but what I really like to see is something that is helping people do something as opposed to just going into general operating budgets or just covering overhead for salaries.
A project. Yeah.
We really like to see it go towards something like that. You know, we have funded a lot of things. We will also take, we'll consider international projects as well, because as Rotary, we do international projects. We've put wells in Zambia. We have a school. We've done.
Man, you talk about money that goes somewhere.
Yeah.
That accomplishes a lot.
Yeah. The most interesting one I think we did, and we provided solar light kits for Ethiopia. And what it was for was for midwives. Mm. They were delivering, they're delivering babies out in the middle of the desert, the jungle, and there's no electricity. And they were basically doing it by cell phone lights. And those would,
were
provided lights that they could actually give birth and have light.
It was, and that's great.
Just interesting things.
Yeah.
And we donated several thousand of that to buy several of the kits for them. So,
Dan, we're speaking with the president of the Edwardsville Rotary Club, and I want to remind you all to go to EdwardsvilleRotary.page to learn more about this, to get access to be one of the 10 winners of these $10,000 donations. Qualifications, what do people, what framework do you have to fit in order to win this?
You have to be a charitable organization. You can be a 501c3, obviously, but if you're a organization that's just a grassroots organization that,
or a church,
provide something, church
that has a cause that could do that,
churches, schools, anything that we feel is a worthy cause. It doesn't have to be a 501c3, and I encourage some grassroots organizations that may not feel they're as organized.
That's the kind of the question.
Are put together or have, because some of these 501c3s, I mean, they're professional fundraisers and they've got it together. I really encourage these grassroots that a volunteer groups get together and they see a need.
You got a heart and you got a need and you need some funds.
Yeah, one of the one of the ones we've done recently, organization is Sleep in Heavenly Peace. Mm-hmm. They've got a nationwide organization, but they're local organizations. We build beds. It's bunk beds. You build for children in Madison County that sleep on the floor, and we deliver those beds after the build. It's an amazing experience. You don't imagine what's out there that you just don't see in your own life.
Well, Dan,
and so it makes you appreciate it.
EdwardsvilleRotary.page. We'll keep talking about it. Thank you both for being in here. Doug, always good to see you. Dan, so great to have you in here, and thank you for doing what you are doing. This is what it's all about, folks. And, you know, just a plug for me, support your Rotary clubs, because this is how they are able to help those in need. Madison County, you're up. EdwardsvilleRotary.page. We'll be right back. I don't know how long it gets into this song, but the best line is where it says, one might grow up and go to prison, one might be president.
That's this song.
We'll get to it. We'll get to that later. Thank you for listening today. We've had a full show so far. If you were listening at the beginning of the show, we talked a little bit about September 11th. And as Ryan just mentioned, that's the poll for today. So we want to make sure we commemorate this day with the appropriate amount of respect. And we've talked about the debate quite a bit today. We'll get to more of that in the 2 o'clock hour. But something that is just bright and good and positive injected into this day. We are happy to welcome the Edwardsville Rotary Club president into the studio. Dan Abegg is in studio with us. Dan, thank you for being here with us.
Thank you for having me, Annie.
It's good to have you in here. And Doug Rohr, who is my friend, he goes to church with me. He's a member of the Edwardsville Rotary Club.
Good to have you here, Annie.
Yeah, good to see you here outside of church. You guys are doing something really, really huge for your Edwardsville Rotary Club 100th anniversary. So I want to talk about that in a second. But first, Dan, tell me a little bit about the Edwardsville Rotary Club. 100 years is that's a well-established group.
It's a great thing, and I'm just lucky to be president this year in the 100th year. You know, Rotary International is a worldwide organization with over 1.2 million members. The Edwardsville Rotary Club is one of those clubs, has been around for 100 years. We have about 100 members, has done really wonderful things for the community of Edwardsville, Glen Carbon, and the Madison County area in general. Service above self is our motto. So we live by that. We have fundraisers, and we donate and have donated a lot of money over the years. Since 2002, we've actually donated $1.1 million to local organizations and through scholarships and building things. We built the Airplane Park Playground in Edwardsville.
Have used.
Yes.
I love that. Everybody has. Yes, it's a great playground. Molly loves that playground. $1.1 million is amazing. You do several fundraisers, I guess, annually. The Edwardsville Criterium bike race is a huge one. It's like continued to grow year after year.
It has become really good. And, you know, we have great members. It takes a lot of volunteer hours for that. Brian Mulhall is our person who heads that up currently. But that raises about $46,000 the last couple of years for us to go toward our projects. And all of our money goes toward organizations and projects. We don't have any paid staff or anything like that. That is the club. So we have none of that. But so those go to it. We also have a golf tournament. And then we do sell citrus in December, which has gone back around 25 years as a tradition for the club. And that's always kind of a fun thing for the community to get involved in. But as times go on, you need to adjust your fundraisers. And, you know, there's a lot of organizations out there in need and a lot of hands out and, you know, always going to the same pockets. So we try to diversify, which kind of gets me to this point of this year. So it's our 100th anniversary. We decided, let's do something a little different. We always give money. We gave $46,000 in donations just last year alone. So we thought, let's do something special for the 100th. So we come up with, we're going to donate $100,000. And to do that, we're going to do 10 $10,000 grants. And they will be eligible to any nonprofit, community organization, a business that might have a community project they're working on within Madison County.
That's great.
So that's, even though we're an Edwardsville club, we're encouraging participation from all over the county. Mm-hmm. Like I said, we've given a bunch of money. Edwardsville is fortunate. They have a lot of organizations and a lot of generous people, but we know there's a lot of needs in and around the Madison County area that we would really like to get applications and hear from those organizations as well.
You know, Ryan, we talk a lot about politics, obviously, on this show, but this is just a community helping people in the community, completely apolitical. And this is what it's really all about. To be able to apply, like anybody listening right now who's in Madison County who has that nonprofit organization can go to EdwardsvilleRotary.page and you can register to win this $10,000, I guess, is it a grant or a donation to help you with your cause? Like just being able to see people in the community. This is happening everywhere. And we wanted to highlight this because this 100th anniversary opportunity is a big one. It's just very positive and refreshing to see.
I don't know about you, but I feel like the government wastes money sometimes. And when you get private organizations like this, you know, I'm sure you guys are going to look at who's most worthy of these things. It's not just, oh, well, here you go. You know, you're going to look at who's going to make a difference, who's going to handle this with the most integrity. And that's exactly why we love talking to organizations like you guys, because we know that you're doing the vetting. We know that you're doing the right things to make sure that the people in need, the needs in our area are met the best. That's the best way to do it, the way you're doing it.
And that's what we really try to do. So the committee, we have a centennial committee that I put together that will be reviewing all these applications as they come in. They will then vote on them and make recommendations. And then also the board of directors will have this, will vote on which ones. And then membership as a whole will get a vote.
That's great.
So this isn't just one or two people picking out their favorite
right.
organization or somebody they've got from a golf league or something like that. They will really get looked at. Every application will get looked at. And what I encourage people to do is really encourage what the money goes to and what it serves. Because what this is kind of a personal bias, but what I really like to see is something that is helping people do something as opposed to just going into general operating budgets or just covering overhead for salaries. A project.
Yeah.
We really like to see it go towards something like that. You know, we have funded a lot of things. We will also we'll consider international projects as well, because as Rotary, we do international projects. We've put wells in Zambia. We have a school. We've done.
Man, you talk about money that goes somewhere.
Yeah.
That accomplishes a lot.
Yeah. The most interesting one I think we did, and we provided solar light kits for Ethiopia. And what it was for was for midwives. Mm. They're delivering babies out in the middle of the desert.
Yeah.
The jungle. And there's no electricity, and they were basically doing it by cell phone lights, and those would were provided lights that they could actually give birth and have light.
And that's great.
Just interesting things,
yeah.
And we donated several thousand of that to buy several of the kits for them. So,
Dan, we're speaking with the president of the Edwardsville Rotary Club, and I want to remind you all to go to EdwardsvilleRotary.page to learn more about this, to get access to be one of the 10 winners of these $10,000 donations. Qualifications, what framework do you have to fit in order to win this?
You have to be a charitable organization. You can be a 501c3, obviously, but if you're a organization that's just a grassroots organization that
or a church
provide something, church
that has a cause that could do that,
churches, schools, anything that we feel is a worthy cause. It doesn't have to be a 501c3, and I encourage some grassroots organizations that may not feel they're as organized.
That's the kind of the question.
Are put together or have, because some of these 501c3s, I mean, they're professional fundraisers and they've got it together. I really encourage these grassroots that a volunteer groups get together and they see a need.
You got a heart and you got a need and you need some funds.
Yeah, one of the ones we've done recently, organization is Sleep in Heavenly Peace. They've got a nationwide organization, but they're local organizations. We build beds. It's bunk beds. You build for children in Madison County that sleep on the floor, and we deliver those beds after the build. It's an amazing experience. You don't imagine what's out there that you just don't see in your own life.
Well, Dan,
and so it makes you appreciate it.
EdwardsvilleRotary.page. We'll keep talking about it. Thank you both for being in here. Doug,
thank
always
you.
Good to see you. Dan, so great to have you in here, and thank you for doing what you are doing. This is what it's all about, folks. And, you know, just a plug for me, support your Rotary clubs, because this is how they are able to help those in need. Madison County, you're up. EdwardsvilleRotary.page. We'll be right back.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
As a parent, you always want to set your child up for success. So when they're struggling in school or they need help with homework, you try your best to step up. But sometimes you might not be equipped to answer. And it's better to leave that to the experts from IXL Learning. IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL can help your child really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. And when you sign up, one subscription gets you everything you need for all the kids in your home, from pre-K to 12th grade. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S., with 1 in 4 students across the country using the program. So don't wait any longer. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.